In 1805, Lewis and Clark described in their journals a country teeming with wildlife.
Bison as far as the eye can see.
Rivers churning with fish.
They wrote of scenes of endless beauty and of meeting more than 100 nations of American Indian whose lives were one with our environment. Now, imagine what Lewis and Clark and the American Indians they met would say if they walked the trail today. Would they be pleased?
There are herds of homes where the buffalo once roamed.
Or would they feel differently?
Something must be done to save what's left of this great place.
As we commemorate the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial, the
7th Wave Network.
Welcome to A Call to Greatness with host, spiritual counselor, psychic, and energy management trainer, Victoria Post. In this hour, Victoria and her guests explore our individual and collective calls to greatness and support you in finding the courage and resources you need to follow through. Can you hear it? Your greatness is calling. Now here's your host, Victoria Post.
And welcome to this edition of A Call to Greatness. I am Victoria Post, spiritual counselor, psychic, and energy management trainer. If you are tuning in for the first time and you'd like to know a little more about who I am and what I do, feel free to check out my website, www.spiritalive.com. And on today's show, we are going to be looking at really one of my favorite topics. I'm going to be speaking with my guest today, Andrea Gigline, PhD, who is an organizational consultant and hotel owner and just a wonderful person. And we're going to be talking about what she calls positive psychology. And as we begin the show, I'd like to take a moment for a little bit of reflection. And I'd like to extend a moment of prayer and gratitude to you, the listeners, to all of you who are listening to this show, whether you are listening live or on demand. And I invite you to take a moment to take a look at your life, all that is happening in your life, whether it's exactly what you want or whether it is not at all what you want. And I want you to see yourself in the midst of that life. And if you can see yourself in that life with gratitude, with love, what I want you to notice is that you are, each of you, a treasure in the midst of that life. That you are a most important part of that life. And that who you are and how you are in that life is what matters. And that is what I want to honor in this show. And I want to dedicate this show to all those who are struggling in the Middle East. My guest today made a comment to me yesterday. She said, "I have a bias toward action. May the inaction brought about by the ceasefire in that Middle East allow the space and the room and the opportunity for enough hearts to open so that right action may happen in the Middle East." So with that, I invite you to now join us as we begin what I think is going to be a very significant and important dialogue. And I'd like to welcome my very special guest, dear friend and colleague of mine, Andrea Gigline, PhD. She is a hotel owner, so she is quite familiar with the business world. She's also an organizational consultant. She is also one of the most congruent people I've ever had the pleasure to know and to work with. Meaning, what Andrea sets about in her intention, what Andrea intends, Andrea manifests. And Andrea, I've been very impressed with how you've done your journey. Welcome.
Thank you.
And it's a real pleasure to have you as a guest on A Call to Greatness.
Thank you very much. It is a pleasure to be here and to have the opportunity
to explore what a call to greatness looks like when it merges both the spiritual sense and the sense of what business can be when you participate in it at that level, which is obviously the arena that I work in.
Well, most of this country survives on business. Business is a very important part of what we do, even if that business is the business of life.
Correct.
So I think it's a very, very timely topic.
Yeah.
I'd like to begin by just giving a little bit of a definition. You mentioned this notion of positive psychology and making changes through positive psychology. How is this different from positive thinking?
Well, because you started with my bias towards action, that is exactly the difference between positive thinking and positive psychology. Positive thinking was the premise that you could have thoughts and that was going to be good enough. Positive psychology put the science behind the thinking in a positive direction, shows specifically the things you need to do in action to have those thoughts manifest. And, you know, I don't in any way want you to, or want the audience to think that positive psychology is in any way a term that I came up with.
Mm-hmm.
I kneel at the very, very strongly researched academic altar of Marty Seligman out of the University of Pennsylvania and his colleagues who for 20 years have been gradually building the momentum of looking at the field of psychology, which was always focused from its origin in how do we correct what's wrong with people,
mm-hmm.
how do we take sick people and just get them to the point of not being sick,
mm-hmm.
and address the question of what would it look like if we just taught people that they were already good, they brought something to the party already, and how do you go from, in business terms, good to great? And they went about using the basis of positive thinking but putting science to it. So the difference is clearly a bias for action.
Hmm. Wow. So I'm quite intrigued by this notion of how do you actually, what does it look like when you actually acknowledge what's working?
Well, in the field of positive psychology, we have a number of very specific things. There are instruments. You know, if you go to the AuthenticHappiness.org website, which is Marty Seligman's University of Penn website, for free you get to take a host of tests, one of which is a values in action. From that, you get your top five strengths. And with those top five strengths, one of the actions you begin to take is looking at what you're doing in your day-to-day life, whether it's business involvement, your personal relationships, community relationships, and you say, how can I have these strengths show up more? Because what the research has shown is that the more you allow and create environments where your strengths show up, instead of trying to correct what's wrong with you, you will actually have a greater result in one level of satisfaction in participating, and we know through the work of Tom Wright and Positive Well-Being that once you have that level of satisfaction, then the production result, you know, what you produce in your relationships, what you produce in your workplace, actually shifts.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a little bit like attention, energy goes, wait a minute, let's try that again.
Uh-huh.
Energy flows where attention goes, something of that nature, that if you put, kind of like in an energetic speak, if you put your energy and your attention and your focus on what's wrong, that's what keeps showing up.
Correct. And, you know, in the metaphysical arenas, where sometimes people, because of their religious beliefs, will be off put by that concept,
mm-hmm.
we have, within the field of positive psychology, taken the same exact concept, because positive psychology is first and foremost based in explanatory style. We know for a fact that if you change one simple thing, such as how you language something, such
mm-hmm.
as using words like never, always, hate, but, those are going to kill what comes next. And that's just one small thing you can do. So it is the thing that everyone can do immediately.
Okay, so we're going to work a little bit more with language. What's coming next here is a short break, but we will be right back to continue this wonderful discussion here on A Call to Greatness. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Can you stay present and centered even when everything around you is completely out of control? Can you find joy, meaning, and peace even when life seems to be falling apart? Can you love yourself even when your inner critic is right? The soul journey is filled with complexities that will take you from adversity to ecstasy through power and vulnerability, from magical moments of connection into deep states of loneliness, from life to death and back again. With all the twists and turns, it's no wonder that we all sometimes have to ask for directions. Victoria Post, licensed minister, clairvoyant, and spiritual counselor, can help you keep your spirit alive while surrendering to your soul's journey. Victoria's mastery is in her ability to communicate information and apply practical and powerful tools to all life situations. She has honed her natural skills through clairvoyant training and years of personal work with Temenos and the Naos Foundation School of Sacred Studies. Clients say she has a healing and calming presence, provides focus and great clarity, and gives them permission to be who they are and make their own choices in life. Victoria offers individual counseling sessions and conducts classes in voice dialogue and other energy work. Additional services include public speaking, officiating for weddings, and other rituals and ceremonies, voice coaching, and customized songs for special occasions. When you're looking for support and guidance provided with absolute integrity, whether you need to appreciate the place you've landed or find the next path to follow, call Victoria Post at 415-928-2711, extension 2, or visit her website, spiritalive.com. Victoria Post at spiritalive.com. Naturally compassionate, innately spiritual, real and down to earth.
I can take care of myself. I can make a peanut butter sandwich. I can brush my teeth and I can give myself a bath. I can walk home alone from school. I can pick dinner from the trash behind the deli. I can watch the baby for the whole weekend. I can keep a baseball bat by my bed just in case there's trouble. Don't worry about me. I can take care of myself.
If you're in jail, who'll be there to take care of your family? Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Welcome back to A Call to Greatness with Victoria Post. If you have a question or comment, call us toll-free at 866-472-5794. Now back to the program. Here's Victoria.
And welcome back to A Call to Greatness. We are talking about positive psychology. My guest today is Andrea Giglein, PhD, organizational consultant, hotel owner, and many other extraordinary things. Andrea, we left at the break. We left off just beginning to talk about language and shifting your language. And you left us with the words never, always,
hate.
Mm-hmm.
I left you with those four words because in the course of a given day, the amount of time that people will use that in casual conversation is shocking. And
I hate that.
Don't you just hate that? Everyone in the listening audience can, just as a game, during the course of the next day, see how many times they say things like, you never do what I ask you to do. You always forget da 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 da. You always do this. The one that I love the most is when you are actually thinking you're paying someone a compliment. You know, I really appreciate you did that, but what I really needed you to do was done. And this can take place at home, this takes place at work, this takes place everywhere. You know, in every consumer encounter, you know, we really use very, very charged language. And what the research has shown us, and I love the research, you know, for my arena within the business community, that just changing that one variable, and one of the neatest studies was one where they took high-performing work teams But those high-performing work teams were all in companies or divisions at that point that were in financial stress or distress. And the ones that used positive language versus negative explanatory styles, and what that looks like is, we're never going to make our sales quota, versus, up until now, we have not made the numbers. The ones that actually shift variables as small as that ended up having the highest return and gains in their divisions.
Wow.
And it, they did the same type of thing within marriages, you know, the other major relationship.
Right.
Where language alone, and it was language based in gratitude, those couples that expressed appreciation and gratitude at higher levels had by 5 times an exponential return on their ability to stay together as a couple.
Mm-hmm. I know, just even if someone talks to me and says, you never get that right, or you never get it the first time, or whatever, a sentence like that, I know what happens to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel constricted, I feel defensive, I want to defend myself, I want to lash back at them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. No, and that's what it causes. The brain
mm-hmm.
shuts down. If you use charged explanatory style, like, I hate this, what that does is, you know, if you're saying it to a person,
mm-hmm.
it brings up in them all the time someone said, I hate, I hate, I hate, I hate, I hate. And that immediately is shutting down the frontal lobe. And the frontal lobe is where the logic, where the engagement can come in. And you're at a level of pure emotion.
Right.
Not necessarily where we manage the best.
Right. We need access to that part.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I also noticed something in your example
mm-hmm.
as you were sort of saying, okay, either we will never make our quota or
mm-hmm.
up until now we haven't made our quota.
Right.
Is you altered your language but not reality.
Correct. And that is critical for me and for those people that I work with. We cannot pretend that things are not good when they are not good. But what we also cannot do is spend our time trying to find out why they are not good versus what can we do from this moment forward to make them better.
Mm-hmm.
Because all I have control of is the given moment, and that starts with the thought. You can analyze why things go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You could analyze why we're in Iraq. You could analyze a lot of stuff. And if your conversation stays there versus today I will put my energy with a group of people to pray towards a positive outcome. I will put my money towards the organizations that are providing books for schools. I will, you know, wherever you choose at this moment to put the energy is either going to make what was continue or you have a possibility of engaging in the change.
Mm-hmm. And you certainly feel better.
Absolutely. You know, that is the one thing, you know, one of the many taglines, and my website is actually called Serving Success. Long ago when I got into group dynamics, that was not my home because they didn't spend enough time having the individual take responsibility for who they were, how they thought, how they acted.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, without first and foremost paying attention at that level, the group does not exist because every group is made up of all of those little eyes. So it is very critical to me that someone first and foremost serve their own success. Serve yourself by making these changes for no other reason but that you physiologically feel better, you are able to accomplish more, you are able to help more.
Yeah. So many people these days are trained to be of service by ignoring, neglecting, forgetting the self.
Correct. Yeah.
And this is suggesting that it's actually important to start from the self.
Absolutely. And that was, you know, the two greatest things that positive psychology gave us was that it shifted from us correcting. And believe me, as a consultant, I was as guilty. When I was doing just behavioral seminars, the process was you took an instrument, you learned what your behaviors, whether you were dominant or influencing, steadiness,
mm-hmm.
and then we worked really hard at that weakness list.
Mm-hmm.
I remembered actually one slide where we would show muscles weak on one side and big on the other and say you need to balance them out. And what I'm here to tell you is that I gave you current information then that is no longer applicable.
Mm-hmm.
That if you spent more time working on your strengths and then engaging in ways to alleviate the weaknesses, shore them up in a way that they vanish, you have actually done, you've used your time better, and you have accomplished more. The other thing positive psychology has given us when it's looked at the realms of the pleasant life and the good life and the meaningful life, it has, without using the concept of God, which in the business community and in because God, the name of God has been used in so many negative connotations, is quite important, that you it actually focuses on how to get people engaged in influencing institutions in a positive way, i.e. through helping, you know, in a philanthropic, but philanthropic can be any one of a number of ways,
mm-hmm.
including creating good businesses where people feel good about themselves. You know, our businesses and hotels, trust me, we are not high-paying positions. That's not what the industry is. That's not what my business can be. But if I can give a person an incredibly respectful place to work, that it is not okay for people to treat them poorly, then I have given them one step towards their ability to open up to where else do they want to land, how else do they want to behave in the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what, you know, this work is all about.
Mm-hmm. So how can you give some examples of how you've been able to apply this in your own work?
Oh, sure. You know, within I'll give you two, one from the consulting and one from our hotel. In our business, which are very small businesses relative to corporations, we have one property that has 10 to 12 employees, another that has about 60. It is common that they're owned by private owners. And it is also common that those owners could basically treat you however they wanted to treat you because they're entry-level jobs and all you have to do is do the job. And one of the things that we, you know, really work at strongly with our general managers and then with our employees is that you have access to us at all times. They have our home phone numbers. They have our email addresses. If something is happening and they don't feel good about it and they don't have the skill to work through the channels, they know that their general manager is not going to get fired if they come to us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an incredible feeling of security to know that at entry-level positions, you have the ability to go to the highest level and that someone isn't going to be harmed and you're not going to be harmed. Because,
yeah,
you know, that's,
mm-hmm.
that's an important way that that
absolutely.
Works.
Absolutely.
In my consulting practice, where I work only with business owners, CEOs, I made a choice to stay at that level when I do my one-on-one work.
Mm-hmm.
Because I believe that at that level, if we can influence that level, then what they're willing to have their organizations do is greatly influenced. I have
kind of like at a doctor's office, however the doctor is reflected in the staff.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I had a client who has phenomenal business, and they were running into a lot of external variables, business model changing dramatically. And every time we were in a meeting, I'd get we'd be going over the monthly numbers, and it was a conversation about being attacked, you know, there was a lot of war language, actually, in the way this person was describing where they were in their business, and then she would be repeating what was happening in their management meeting. So by just working one-on-one with that person and having the concept of language change at the very smallest level implemented, that person was able to see significant results, and they reported that back to me. It was like,
wow.
Yeah, no, that it was that clear when that shift took place. And it also helped that there was something in a Harvard Business article that said, you know, basically somebody looked at the president of a company and said, when are you going to stop making excuses about why you're not, you know, meeting your numbers and start figuring out how to meet them? And, you know, it's like, because one of the standard lines is you can make excuses or you can meet your goals, but you can't do both. And that's what language is.
Yeah. So I want to talk a little bit about this notion of change.
Yes.
Changing language, changing habit patterns, whatever it is, because what I find is this is the thing people are most terrified of is change, and it doesn't matter if it's good change, scary change, it does not matter. So when we come back from this short break, I want to continue this conversation about change.
Okay.
And also invite you, the listener, to join us in the dialogue. So call in if you'd like at 866-472-5795. Stay with us as we consider change and positive psychology and your call to greatness.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
Can you stay present and centered even when everything around you is completely out of control? Can you find joy, meaning, and peace even when life seems to be falling apart? Can you love yourself even when your inner critic is right? The soul journey is filled with complexities that will take you from adversity to ecstasy through power and vulnerability, from magical moments of connection into deep states of loneliness, from life to death and back again. With all the twists and turns, it's no wonder that we all sometimes have to ask for directions. Victoria Post, licensed minister, clairvoyant, and spiritual counselor, can help you keep your spirit alive while surrendering to your soul's journey. Victoria's mastery is in her ability to communicate information and apply practical and powerful tools to all life situations. She has honed her natural skills through clairvoyant training and years of personal work with Temenos and the Naos Foundation School of Sacred Studies. Clients say she has a healing and calming presence, provides focus and great clarity, and gives them permission to be who they are and make their own choices in life. Victoria offers individual counseling sessions and conducts classes in voice dialogue and other energy work. Additional services include public speaking, officiating for weddings, and other rituals and ceremonies, voice coaching, and customized songs for special occasions. When you're looking for support and guidance provided with absolute integrity, whether you need to appreciate the place you've landed or find the next path to follow, call Victoria Post at 415-928-2711, extension 2, or visit her website, spiritalive.com. Victoria Post at spiritalive.com. Naturally compassionate, innately spiritual, real and down to earth.
Dad, let's sing that bedtime song.
Rock-a-bye baby by Newton's treetop. His first law of motion, make sure you won't stop. The same rules of physics apply to a ball, while gravity is a force that makes things fall.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, but it's never too early to set your daughter's future in motion. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Welcome back to A Call to Greatness with Victoria Post. If you have a question or comment, call us toll-free at 866-472-5794. Now back to the program. Here's Victoria.
And welcome back to A Call to Greatness. I am Victoria Post, and my guest today is Andrea Giglein, organizational consultant and hotel owner and much, much more. And we are talking about the idea of positive psychology. Before the break, we were talking, just beginning to talk about the notion of change. And I noticed even in the little tagline there before we came back from the break, Seventh Wave, you know, a network for positive change.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all of this, this idea of positive change, negative change, whatever. Change is in and of itself scary for most people, and most people go to great lengths to avoid it,
mm-hmm.
or run from it.
Mm-hmm.
How is there a relationship between positive psychology and making change, and how do you actually help people start that process of changing language, which is an ingrown habit?
Okay. change has, been in the organizational world since its inception as a group dynamic. And change is, there is no more direct statement. Just because people don't like it doesn't mean that it is not occurring every second and every nanosecond. What positive psychology has done, normally when someone says you need to change, they're usually saying the way you are is not okay.
Right.
And it's very hard to get motivated from a place of I'm not okay. What positive psychology does is start from the basis of you have got things about you that are perfectly okay. How do we develop those and refine those so that you are using them most of the time? So the change is actually a change of you using what you like the most, the best, and the most often. And so you really get to, quote unquote, change by actually becoming more of who you already are, not by taking on characteristics that you are not, really don't wish to be, and are strained every time you have to take them on. I have, and there are some of the characteristics that come up on the values in action which are quite funny, particularly in a business setting. You know, one of the funniest was when I was working with a man who had gone through bankruptcy, and one of his characteristics was forgiveness and mercy. And, with a lot of funny explanatory language, he basically asked, what does this have to do with me trying to get out of bankruptcy and rebuild my life? And that was a really, we were laughing in the conversation, but it is amazing how a characteristic like forgiveness and mercy can actually help a person when used appropriately. Forgiveness and mercy can look like you being a doormat. Forgiveness and mercy can look like you not being a good manager because you do not take the time to caringly guide the people who you're working with to perform at a better level. So that's, one side. The other side is, okay, this happened. These people were involved. I need to be able to work through some processes so that I can move forward. That also is forgiveness and mercy.
Absolutely.
Okay, and then that's where the change takes place.
Wow. Wow. So I'd like to welcome Mary. Mary, welcome to A Call to Greatness. You are now on with me and with Andrea Gigline.
Hi, Vicki and Andrea. I'm pretty cognizant of this language affecting people, being both in the corporate world and, a mother.
Yes.
Sometimes trying to use that positive language, I feel that I'm circumventing maybe the passion or the focus on what, you try to soften it or buffer it or something like that to where it feels as though you're not really directing the need to say, identify what it is so that you can change it. And sometimes I notice that that's what happens. How can you avoid that part of it?
Okay, here is the one simple line about language that if you even kept the hate, the nevers, and the always in, if you would just change every but to and, such as, with a child, I love you and I need you to sit quietly. I love you and I need you to meet your curfew tonight. I love you and I need help in guiding you because where you are right now is not in a good place. Always remember this is not about distorting reality, but it is about using, because in every situation we know there is something I call, you can grasp onto, and sometimes it is truly by the whitest knuckles in the world. But there is always something, and the quicker you can get your brain, and that, pay attention to that part, the quicker you can get your brain to see where is the thing I can hold on to in this conversation? Because what you're doing then is giving whoever you're encountering with, whether at work, at home, the anchor for them to hold on to. You just by putting and in that sentence versus a but, you will have given them an anchor to stay in the conversation long enough. And I do want to say one thing about positive psychology that has come up in my work in the last few days. Remember that what I'm saying and what I'm talking about is assuming a person whose mind is not altered by drugs or alcohol.
Right, right.
Okay? And that's a very, very important piece of information. If you're in the workplace and you know that you're encountering someone on methamphetamine, all bets are off. You know, there are different things you need to do in order to make that a safe situation.
Mm-hmm.
And it is not by applying positive language, but it is by keeping the tone you speak in low and not allowing your voice to escalate. You know, there are things that you
right.
do in those situations, but please understand that this is for the normalized population.
Right. So in Mary's situations then, if she needs to say something difficult and does not want to sugarcoat it,
mm-hmm.
but in because it, you know, sometimes if you get too many words,
mm-hmm.
you lose the impact of the statement.
Mm-hmm.
So, it, rather than saying, you know, I hate when you do that, you never get it right. You know, you could simply say, this doesn't work for me.
Right, right. You know, I know you are capable of doing this report, and what you handed me is not at the level I need it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mary, does that help?
It does, and I notice that sometimes when, you know, like at work, men, they like instructions. So that works
mm-hmm.
for
mm-hmm.
a lot of men.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you give that sort of instructional forward motion to some that don't take instructions real well, I feel as though the language could actually go around what the real issue is. And then I feel myself waking up at night saying, I wonder if they got it.
Yeah. One of the things that I try and do is be as clear
mm-hmm.
In my communication as possible, accepting that I must anchor it with something positive. Because, you know, I am a person who, by natural disposition, would like command and control, which was the business model and was the universal model of engagement,
mm-hmm.
is one that I live and breathe in my natural being. I would much prefer that the entire world and everyone I encounter do exactly what I tell them to do, exactly when I tell them to do it.
That would be nice.
That would be, wouldn't it?
Yeah, wouldn't that be great?
And my experience has been in life that that's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to learn techniques. You know, I teach this material because I struggle with this material. And I know where the result is. I am very clear. When Vicki said at the beginning about the one thing about me and my bias for action is that even though I may not, it may not be natural to me, if I believe it will get me the end goal in a way that I can be in integrity, I'm there.
Great. Thank you, Mary.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And so, speaking of that, you do have a couple of resources.
Yes.
Could you talk a little bit about your coaching and culture book?
Sure. Just recently, I was able to have published a book called Coaching Culture, Hidden Profits, and with a co-author and very dear friend, Karen Robolata, who has an incredibly successful consulting, training, strategy business in New York City. And what we did was develop a little workbook which sets out a model of what it looks like when you work at the individual level first and then connect it to a larger organization. And the front end of the book talks about things such as optimism, pessimism, which is the basis of positive psychology,
mm-hmm.
talks about positive well-being, talks about Bucky Fuller's creation of the geodesic dome, because it was in that theory of taking an individual triangle and connecting them that he was able to create the lightest, strongest, structure ever created. And metaphorically, that's what we try and do in our organizations, in our homes. So the front end of it is theory based in that, and then the back end is actual application in the workplace.
Great. And they can get this book through your website?
Through my website, servingsuccess.com.
Servingsuccess.com.
Which is cheaper than doing it through Amazon.
Okay. And when we come back, you mentioned gratitude earlier, so I want to talk with Gret about gratitude and a few more things. When we come back from this short break, on A Call to Greatness.
Thank you.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
Can you stay present and centered even when everything around you is completely out of control? Can you find joy, meaning, and peace even when life seems to be falling apart? Can you love yourself even when your inner critic is right? The soul journey is filled with complexities that will take you from adversity to ecstasy through power and vulnerability, from magical moments of connection into deep states of loneliness, from life to death and back again. With all the twists and turns, it's no wonder that we all sometimes have to ask for directions. Victoria Post, licensed minister, clairvoyant, and spiritual counselor, can help you keep your spirit alive while surrendering to your soul's journey. Victoria's mastery is in her ability to communicate information and apply practical and powerful tools to all life situations. She has honed her natural skills through clairvoyant training and years of personal work with Temenos and the Naos Foundation School of Sacred Studies. Clients say she has a healing and calming presence, provides focus and great clarity, and gives them permission to be who they are and make their own choices in life. Victoria offers individual counseling sessions and conducts classes in voice dialogue and other energy work. Additional services include public speaking, officiating for weddings, and other rituals and ceremonies, voice coaching, and customized songs for special occasions. When you're looking for support and guidance provided with absolute integrity, whether you need to appreciate the place you've landed or find the next path to follow, call Victoria Post at 415-928-2711, extension 2, or visit her website, spiritalive.com. Victoria Post at spiritalive.com. Naturally compassionate, innately spiritual, real and down to earth.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Welcome back to A Call to Greatness with Victoria Post. If you have a question or a comment, call us toll-free at 866-472-5794. Now back to the program. Here's Victoria.
And welcome back to A Call to Greatness with Victoria Post. And I am here with Andrea Gigline, organizational consultant, hotel owner, and much, much more. And we're getting into gratitude, and we have a pretty packed last segment, but we also have a caller, Christine. So, Christine, I'd like to welcome you to the show. Do you have a quick question for
Andrea? I heard you. I'll talk fast. is it on the website that you explain how to arrive at what the five values are?
On the website, you do have a link to Authentic Happiness, which is the website, but you can go straight to that website, which the name is www.authentichappiness.org.
Okay, perfect.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So always more than one way to get to something.
Correct.
So you had said that there were two things we could start doing immediately to make some positive changes, to start putting positive psychology in action. One was language. You mentioned early on, the second was gratitude. So
yeah,
we have to talk about this gratitude.
Okay. Gratitude, interestingly enough, although it's one of the 28 values in action, so that could easily be one of the five that you come up with, is the one strength that even if a person does not have it in their top five, they suggest that you develop it. And the reason they do that is because the evidence, the science, so strongly suggests that when you apply gratitude, your physiology changes in such a way that you actually get as much back as you do giving. And so it is not a variable, it is not a strength that you actually encounter stress with. if you're trying to develop and you don't really have it.
Uh-huh.
It is one that, in fact, you know, really reaps benefits for the person doing the act of being grateful. And, I'll, you know, for those that are familiar with business, in the 80s, the whole concept of appreciating the customer, which, oddly enough, up until that point, it was more about manipulating the customer.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, Tom Peters and a host of others got into, you know, start appreciating your customer. The customer is important. And then the next iteration was, well, there's such a thing as internal customers. And all we were doing was finally becoming appreciative of all the people around us. But what we found was that when you raise the human connection to, and in that case it was the customer, the likelihood was that the customer would engage with you on a more frequent and higher level, which is obviously the objective of business. Well, the same exact thing happens. You know, when you show appreciation, when you show gratitude for the people around you in every aspect of your life, remarkably, they want to be around you more. Remarkably,
mm-hmm.
they want to be of assistance more.
Mm-hmm.
So the act of gratitude is one of those things that just doing it. And, you know, this is where, particularly in the workplace, because everyone has people in the workplace that the sheer thought of them walking past your desk or your office, you know, puts you frozen in place.
Right.
And if you can begin to engage at some level, you know, with that person in a way that instead of you thinking, oh no, here they come,
mm-hmm.
oh, let me just say hello. Oh, and if it's a person that talks too much, you know, you can set up ways to be able to end the conversation. Surprise them with a hello and then vanish. Anything. But you're making that shift.
Yes.
Is what actually changes things.
I know my husband and I have a weekly practice of spending time with each other, and it's always we always start with sharing two or three things we've appreciated about the other person that week,
right.
Which means we have to spend time that week looking for them.
Right.
Which I think has really made a humongous difference
right.
in our marriage.
Right.
And strengthened it.
And as you well know, my husband Richard is phenomenal at the way that he shows verbal appreciation for myself and,
mm-hmm.
and all of the people
mm-hmm.
in his world. And I think it is reflected by the quality of the relationships he has in his world.
Yeah, yeah. So, language and gratitude.
Yes.
Language and gratitude. You have found a way. You are, Andrea's living in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And Las Vegas is, shall we say, not exactly known as a high sacred spiritual center for most of us. And yet
yeah. New York is the Big Apple. Las Vegas is Sin City.
Sin
so.
City. So.
yes.
But you found ways to actually build your integrity to be as spiritual as you are right there in the middle of Las Vegas.
Yes. You know, in my work life, I try and bring these qualities through by work, like the coaching culture book, where we have a very entry level, like at our quality and properties, having our employees at entry level be able to experience levels of respect.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, I'm very into the paradoxes of a situation and being able to show up. And you were actually the person who, when I was leaving Northern California and going to Las Vegas, and I was concerned about the environment, particularly because our daughter was going, you know, was at an early adolescent at that
mm-hmm.
time, about coming into this environment. And you kept telling me that, you know, the spiritual light is really beginning to shine there. The spiritual light is really beginning to shine there. And after a few years, I found a magnificent church out in Boulder City, run by a Catholic priest by the name of Father Joe. It's called St. Andrew's Church, and it is truly based in love, where all he cares about is, you know, people coming and wanting to experience what love looks like. And he puts it his weekly talks in on a very current basis, and he walks his talk. And then in Las Vegas proper, there was a non-denominational, although very, very much based in the three founders' Christian beliefs, a spiritual center called Still Point, where they created, in the midst of a very, very urban strip mall environment, a sanctuary where we have meditation rooms, and they have reading groups and prayer groups, and they do Enneagrams, and they have all different speakers. So we're allowing people to explore at their comfort level where their spirit can be.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the greatest paradoxes of Steelpoint is that it was founded with money from one of our major casino families. So it's kind of running the full circle.
Absolutely. It's just like when you and I were talking during the break, how heartening it is that this notion of positive psychology and building on strengths and creating appreciation and gratitude is actually finding its way into the business world.
Correct.
Which is not, you know, normally known for that.
Correct.
That's a very heartening thing. And finally, I also want people to know about your upcoming conference, the Professional Women's Conference.
Yeah, as I alluded to, you know, I always refer to myself as a hotel owner, but to plug the hotels, there is one really darling property, 51-room property we have in Cottonwood, Arizona. It is a Quality Inn. And then we also have a very beautiful Quality Inn and Suites in Prescott, Arizona, which has conference space. And with that, because of what I like to do, one of the neat experiences that I've had is attending many women's conferences in California, where you run hour-long segments introducing women to everything of personal strategy, business strategies, giving them an environment to connect. And I decided that Prescott is a beautiful growing community, and that would be a neat way to use that facility. So on November 3rd, we are having such an event. It's called the Prescott Professional Women's Conference, and it will be a day long. We've asked the governor, who is running for re-election and is a female, to be our keynote, and she cannot confirm until 6 weeks before, but of course I've already got my introduction speech written for her. And we have Laura Fenimore, who is a life coach and expert in the area of body esteem, something that particularly for women in success tends to be a handicap, and Debbie Benedetti, who is a person, a life coach and a business strategist and personal strategy. She helps you adapt and develop personal plans.
Uh-huh.
And so it's that type of experience. And a new speaker, Silver Rose, has just confirmed, and she brings humor into it.
Yeah. So is there more information about this on your website as well?
Not yet, mm-hmm. And it will, but my phone numbers will get you more information on that.
Okay. Why don't you go ahead and give out a phone number?
Okay.
I want to have a little time for a closing here.
Okay, 702-869-3729.
702-869-3729.
Yes.
Great. So as we wrap up here, are there any last thoughts you would like to leave people with today as they set about their week and want to start to put some of this into practice?
Sure. You know, first and foremost, there hasn't been much of an opportunity for me to be able to say that the 11 years that I've spent with you, Vicki, have actually been as paramount as any education or experience that I have had. You know, we have met for 30 minutes every month for, if my recollection is correct, about 11 years.
Well.
And, you know, you can multiply that $60 a month times however many months they are, and I'm going to tell you that it was an investment in who I was, in how I see the world, and how I want to play in this world.
Thank you.
And I thank you very much for that. You know, the things I'd like to leave you with are things that are just a part of how I present my work. And the first one is that, you know, is changing your language easy? No, it is not. But it is something that is simple, and you can do it. You know, for me, the life-changing term was an opening line in Scott Peck's book, Life is Difficult. And I've added to that, and you can be happy. Those are not mutually exclusive states. And that's what seeing reality of a situation and putting a positive frame on it to go forward is all about. And lastly, I guess, the concept of having very high attention with very low attachment.
Very high intention with low attachment. I like that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Andrea, for joining us today on A Call to Greatness. It's been a wonderful show with two very simple things that we can put in practice, and I think that's so important. So thank you all for listening and tuning in, and please join me again next week on A Call to Greatness when I will be interviewing my astrology teacher, who will talk to us about the great karmic clearing of the summer of 2006. Bless you. Remember that you are a treasure, each one of you. Thank you so much for listening. See you next time on the net. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to A Call to Greatness. To contact Victoria, visit spiritalive.com. Tune in next Wednesday for another profound hour on A Call to Greatness with Victoria Post.